Dr. Daniels, and welcome to Healing with Dr. Daniels. It is Sunday, March 17th, 2019, and happy St. Patrick's Day, all you folks out there who might be drinking green beer. Well, today's topic is bait and switch. Yep. You heard that right. Bait and switch. First, we're going to go say hi to the folks on Facebook. Oh my God, it says we're connecting. There we are. Okay. Oh, we're live. Hi, Facebook. All right, bait and switch. What do you mean bait and switch? Well, those of you who've gone shopping or looked for a sale know that bait and switch is. They tell you they're going to give you one thing, and boom, they switch, and you get something else. It happens in medicine, too. And I noticed this in medical school, actually. And I was horrified. I even talked to the administration. I said, hey, this is not right. We're telling them one thing, and then, you know, that's not what we're doing. So what could that possibly be all about? Well, let's pick a common ailment, headache. So I went to medical school back in 1979 to 1983. And they gave us all these lectures about headaches. You know, it's a sinus headache, tension headache, cluster headache, migraine headache, list of different headaches. And we had therapies for all of them. And none of the therapies were effective because, of course, people's headaches kept coming back, or even worse, didn't even go away in the first place. And so I said, well, how are we any different than those non-doctors whose therapies are not effective? I mean, it seems the same thing. How can we say that people should consult a physician when the therapies the physician offers are no better than the therapy of a non-physician? In other words, neither one works. And so they said, Jennifer, you're not understanding this. We, the medical profession, are doing research. And we're constantly doing ongoing research, so we are going to find the solutions. They're not doing research. They're not going to find the solutions. And so we need to provide the people with something, even if it doesn't work, so that they will keep coming back to us. And when we do get the solutions, we can offer it to them. That was 1979 to 1983. Fast forward to 2018. We now have injections, shots, pills for headaches that cause strokes. Hardly an advance, if you ask me. But there was the bait and switch. The bait, we have scientific proof. The switch, the medical industrial complex gives people therapies that are not proven, that don't work, and that basically have no, let's call it, science behind them. So let's take a look. Let's take a look at a more modern example. That would be 1983. That was a long time ago, right? Yeah, that was a long time ago. So, we're going to take a look at a common affliction. Well, people, call them patients, say they have this common affliction. And this is an email sent to your doctor in his box. And it says, adrenal fatigue, just a myth. Myth is a lie, something that's not true, just by the way. And so this is Medscape Family Medicine. And those of you in Facebook, I know you like these links, so you can follow along and see if I can find you over here and give you the link. This. Oh, there you are. There's the link. Got it. Okay, so here we have this thing called adrenal fatigue, just a myth. the problem with this, or the big complaint that the medical industrial complex has, is patients suffering from chronic symptoms may sit through seemingly unending consultations, that means talking to doctors, only to walk away with no satisfying diagnosis. It's a scenario that has long been fertile ground for pseudoscience, which gallantly swoops in to offer certainty in the guise, that means fake costume, of newly minted conditions. Okay, so fatigue, that means tiredness, anxiety and depression, body aches, muscle weakness, mood swings, and trouble concentrating. Every doctor has encountered patients presenting with such non-specific symptoms, a frustrating starting point to any clinical investigation. And depending on the nature of the complaints, physicians may find themselves with thousands of potential diagnoses to rule out, from the harmless to the potentially life-threatening. All right, so in endocrinology, the adrenal gland is an endocrine gland, so it falls under the specialty of endocrinology. This time-worn narrative has seen its most recent occurrence in the emergence of adrenal fatigue. No, wait, this time-worn narrative, that means this happens all the time, that people have a lot of symptoms and the doctor's got no diagnosis for it. Okay, so they're telling you this has been going on for a long time. Most recent occurrence is the emergence of adrenal fatigue, a condition that mainstream medicine almost uniformly agrees does not exist, at least as it's commonly described. Now, wait, whether adrenal fatigue exists or not is actually irrelevant. What's relevant is people have tiredness, anxiety, depression, body aches, muscle weakness, mood swings, and trouble concentrating, and they want relief, darn it. And so they skip over the reality that people are suffering and doctors don't have answers. Skip that over. Skip over that. Said, well, we don't like the label that non-doctors are putting on this. Okay. Yet, like so many other areas of modern life, scientific certainty has not proven to be the panacea it once was. It never was. I can testify. Medical school, 1983, 1979, science had no answers. So, of course, it was not a panacea back then. And so they're framing this as all good propaganda. You frame lie in another lie. So adrenal fatigue has been particularly immune to counter-arguments, as evidenced by the growing cottage industry of supplements and off-label treatments meant to treat it, despite their carrying very real health risks. This is, now, you know, just take a look at this. So we have modern life, all right, here we are, 2019. Scientific certainty is not the panacea. In other words, science is maybe certain, but it's not working. And adrenal fatigue, which is a label, has been immune to counter-arguments. So the counter-arguments of the medical industrial complex, people are like, hey, we're not buying it. We are still suffering. You guys have not relieved our symptoms. And we're going to use this label for our symptoms. So this has led some to question whether simply labeling adrenal fatigue a myth, a lie, is having the unintended effect, listen carefully, of making patients feel unheard and pushing them further into the hands of dubious practitioners. Let's take a look at dubious. We need to understand what this means, this word. So, dubious means, of course, of doubtful, uncertain, unsure, suspicious, not to be relied upon, suspect. Okay. So, the key here is doubtful, uncertain, and unsure. Well, excuse me, they just said that scientific certainty was doubtful and unsure. Scientific certainty was not working. So we have scientific certainty, which is dubious. And so labeling adrenal fatigue a myth is having the unintended effect of pushing patients into the hands of dubious practitioners. Well, we're going from dubious to dubious. I mean, you with me? So, a diagnosis out of step with evidence. Oh, there we go. I like that. So, the diagnosis of adrenal fatigue is attributed to James L. Wilson, a naturopath and chiropractor, who deemed it the 21st century stress syndrome in a 2001 book of the same name. So, Wilson and others describe adrenal fatigue as a consequence of sustained stress, physical, emotional, or mental, which they posit leads to diminished functioning of the adrenal gland and depleted cortisol levels, resulting in a constellation of symptoms, including exhaustion, impaired concentration, irritability, cravings for salty or sweet food, and fluctuations in sleeping patterns and weight. So, again, don't be dazzled by the label adrenal fatigue. That's not the point. The point is people are having these symptoms, exhaustion, impaired concentration, irritability, cravings for salty and sweet food, fluctuations in sleeping pattern that modern medicine is not addressing. That's the real point here. And so they change the discussion to focus on, is the label correct? Who cares if the label's correct? The point is people are suffering. They've got these symptoms. And modern medicine, do you have an answer? Let's see what they say. So a collision of marketing, internet hype, and vocal backing by alternative medicine practitioners raised the profile of adrenal fatigue. And it wasn't long before endocrinologists, that's the medical specialist who's supposed to be handling the adrenal gland, were confronted with an increasing number of patients seeking treatment for it. So I probably heard it for the first time 15 years ago, says James Findling, doctor, a clinical professor of medicine and surgery and director of Community Endocrinology Center Clinics at the Medical College of Wisconsin. At least he's got a good enough title by now. I was shocked that the theory was that the adrenal glands could somehow fatigue or become underactive due to chronic stress or physical illness, since I was quite aware of the fact that the contrary was true. As this doctor outlined in a 2018, that's last year, presentation, at the Endocrine Society's clinical meeting, adrenal function actually responds to stress by producing more, not less cortisol, an effect that's been noted in conditions ranging from HIV, which we know to be imaginary, to post-traumatic stress disorder. In addition, chronic fatigue syndrome, perhaps the most conceptually similar condition, has never been shown to have significant impairment of pituitary adrenal function. Again, we got all these facts, we got all this science, but what about relief for these people? He added that many endocrinopathies have a variety of vague clinical signs and symptoms, which often puzzle patients and their providers. The nice thing about endocrine disorders is that there are specific and well-defined biochemical markers and tests that can be done that provide evidence of the adequacy of hormone function. This is not the case with adrenal fatigue. As was reported in 2016 systematic literature review, authors looked at 60 studies analyzing cortisol levels, adrenal axis in this condition. They concluded that the studies offered consistently conflicting results and inappropriate conclusions made on the basis of highly flawed designs that used unsubstantiated cortisol assessments. In other words, 60 research studies were worthless. All right. So 60 research studies are worthless. How about zero research studies? We're going to get to that in a minute. The dangers of toxic natural treatments. Okay, so they're saying is some natural treatments are poisonous and they're dangerous. All right, well, let's take a look at that. Even as mainstream endocrinology community has mounted a robust critique of adrenal fatigue's rising profile, debunking the shoddy biology on which it's based in the form of review commentaries and position papers from professional societies, it is commonly accepted that patients diagnosed with this disorder are nonetheless being treated at disconcertingly high numbers. This can leave patients susceptible to more deleterious symptoms than those for which they originally sought therapy. The most common prescribed treatment for adrenal fatigue is probably corticosteroids. Which can provide a false sense of improvement in the short term with euphoric responses after its administration. The trouble comes, and this is if you're out there taking corticosteroids for any reason, When corticosteroids are given for chronic conditions, long-term use, even at moderate doses, has been shown to contribute to a variety of adverse health effects, including psychiatric conditions, that would be like depression, psychosis, and suicide, glaucoma, read blindness, metabolic disorders, read diabetes, and cardiovascular diseases, call it heart attack. But wait, these corticosteroids are exclusively prescribed by doctors. They're not prescribed by alternative practitioners, just by the way. This doctor witnessed the dangers of this off-label intervention firsthand while treating a patient who had received corticosteroids from another practitioner for adrenal fatigue, that means another doctor, and developed avascular necrosis of the hip shortly thereafter, that means the head of the hip died, fell off, the person needed to get a new hip. Big surgery. It illustrates that even relatively low doses of steroids can be quite harmful in normal subjects. This is not harmless. Well, you just said it was harmful, so we know it's not harmless. All right. Like many, this doctor assumed that the other popular treatment for adrenal fatigue, supplements, widely available online and in brick-and-mortar shops, were harmless placebos. But this notion was upended by a publication released last year. This is happening more and more, by the way. All tested supplements contain detectable amounts of thyroid hormone, and many had at least one steroid hormone. So what's happening now is many of these supplements that are being sold over the counter have pharmaceutical drugs in small amounts. So really you have a wolf in sheep's clothing. So according to his lead author, assistant professor of medicine and pediatrics at University of Colorado School of Medicine, the idea for the study came from his own experience treating patients with fatigue. Now, just by the way, doctors back in 1979 to 83 routinely prescribed thyroid hormone to anyone and everyone who was tired or needed to lose weight, just by the way, just saying. The first thing I noticed is that patients presenting with fatigue who were also using some unusual supplements had abnormal lab tests. I suspected that the supplements were the culprit because after they were discontinued, the lab tests were normal. So he selected the 12 best-selling supplements from a well-known online website, and he and his colleagues set about testing their contents, which were advertised as being natural and able to restore energy, among other non-threatening claims. Instead, the research found that all contained detectable amounts of thyroid hormone, and most had at least one steroid hormone. That's pretty bad news. But now, why are people taking these supplements? They're taking these supplements because the doctors have failed to provide relief. Atturk said that although the observed levels of these hormones were relatively low, there were notable variations among the products and sometimes among the pills contained in a single bottle. He noted that these hormones in excess can cause a host of problems, from heart arrhythmias, fertility issues, to a complete shutdown of the adrenal glands with possibly life-threatening consequences. For sure, some of those over-the-counter industries promote this as a money-making tool, he said. You can sell anything easily in the United States if you use some key catchy words such as organic, herbal, natural, plant-based, etc. It gives a sense of false reassurance. Now, let's remember false reassurance, right? So this doctor says, so what's the real diagnosis? Yeah, Mike, I want to know too. So this doctor is adamant that the discussion about adrenal fatigue should not end with telling your patients that it doesn't exist, which he finds to be an ineffective approach. I would rather investigate in further detail other explanations for fatigue, such as an organic or other commonly missed cause. We'll come back in a minute after this commercial.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Give such delight. We all leave before morning light. Please don't go. No, please don't go. Cause I don't want to stay here on my own.
Hi, this is Dr. Daniels, and welcome back to Healing with Dr. Daniels. And we are talking about adrenal fatigue as an example, just an example of bait and switch. And so the bait is medical industrial complex as a science, and we're about to see the switch. So this guy would rather investigate in further detail. That means I'd rather make money doing a lot of tests than just send people away saying it's in their mind. So but he also stressed the importance of taking patient complaints seriously, ruling out adrenal dysfunction, pulling them away from potential harmful interventions, and targeting the real source. In his own practice, he has found sleep apnea to be the most common underlying source of these symptoms, particularly in overweight patients. And if you will recall, sleep apnea requires a diagnostic test that costs at least $1,000, in other words, overnight in the sleep lab. Say nothing of purchasing a piece of rather expensive equipment. Another doctor, an associate chief of integrative medicine at the VA, that would be the Veterans Administration, Greater Los Angeles Healthcare System, has given considerable thought to how to approach patients reporting adrenal fatigue. Saying adrenal fatigue does not exist leaves patients feeling discounted and disregarded, even with the best-meaning physicians. Patients come to us from an emotional and health and wellness point of view. They just want to feel better, she said. Well, I'll go along with that. Frankly, if we give them a diagnosis that isn't adrenal fatigue because they have something else truly wrong with them, they would not hold on to the notion that they have adrenal fatigue. All right? And this doctor has found that trouble comes when rounds of initial testing fail to reveal a hormonal abnormality. He says, we do all these tests, read $10,000 of money spent. We end up saying, well, there isn't really anything hormonally wrong with you. Not only that, but adrenal fatigue does not exist. It leaves patients feeling, you know, discounted. So as Mueller detailed in 2018, she began to dig deeper with these patients, not just asking them to describe their symptoms, but also focusing on the timing of their onset. No one just wakes up one morning feeling all these symptoms. They've been building for a while. So she says that this process has more often than not led such patients to report having had traumatic experiences of various sources. This led her to question whether many of these cases are due to neuronal stress responses. Well, that's exactly what the alternative doctors are saying, is that people are having stress and it's causing adrenal fatigue for their symptoms. So basically, what we have is, let's not tell them that adrenal fatigue is fake. Let's do $10,000 worth of tests and then put a different name on it that means the same thing. Okay. And she said there have been thousands of studies on cortisol variations during the day in patients with stress, but none of them are conclusive. What we do know is that when the brain experiences chronic trauma and stress, the neurons form alternate pathways. In certain areas of the brain, hyperreact, and she's got a whole bunch of other big words, so the brain doesn't respond normally. She'd like to see the hypothesis tested. She would like to see this hypothesis tested. That means no research has been done. Okay, so we have to read through the lines here. In a structured research study of patients reporting adrenal fatigue in a partnership between neuropsychiatrists and clinical endocrinologists. So they want doctors and more doctors to do this research. Let's focus on the patient, not the myth. Keep in mind the example of chronic fatigue syndrome, a condition that was once similarly discredited, but which has since gained acceptance, despite continuing uncertainty regarding its etiology. So doctors have finally accepted this chronic fatigue syndrome label, even though they don't know what causes it. And so she is outraged at the way in which adrenal fatigue is routinely described in literature with titles such as The Myth of Adrenal Fatigue and Adrenal Fatigue Does Not Exist. Although these publications contain arguments for taking patients' symptoms seriously, she's afraid that patients will not get beyond the headlines, which may scare them away from the medical establishment that is their best chance for real improvement. Again, this is what we were told in medical school. We doctors may not have the answers. We don't know what causes people's symptoms. We don't have any effective therapy, but we are the best chance for real improvement that people have. Well, what are we doing? Playing the game of chance now? Where's science? I thought we had some certainty. And why should we impose our will on patients when we're just giving them a chance, as in Las Vegas? When they have the same thing with non-doctors, a chance, like Las Vegas, a gamble. And so this doctor says, I wish we wouldn't write things like that. We can write it in a better, more patient-centered, respectful way and say there isn't a hormonal issue, but it doesn't mean that what the patient is saying doesn't exist. It's having the opposite effect and sending patients away from us. Whoa, sending patients away from us, basically lost revenue. This is what the big deal is, lost revenue. I'd rather have the difficult conversation, make them feel heard so they don't feel like they need to go looking for pseudoscience elsewhere. They can find a pseudoscience right here. A little Freudian slip there. You didn't realize what she was saying. How long will patients wait before moving on to someone who gives them answers? But really away the clutches of science. That means stop them from giving money to our competitors. They will need to offer patients a clear diagnosis of what is ailing them. And so what she's advocating is give them a bunch of tests, give them a bunch of therapy, or sympathy and just kind of yak it up. Now, so basically, the medical industrial complex still has no treatment, no effective treatment for these symptoms that are lumped together and called adrenal fatigue. And so this article has failed to hit upon the essence of the issue. The issue is medicine has no answer. Medicine is offering no relief. And why not go to another source that has no answers and no relief? It's just as valid. So let's take a look at chronic fatigue, which is cited as a success story where doctors have acknowledged the existence of what was once a ridiculed fake diagnosis. So this is chronic fatigue now, which is not too much different from adrenal fatigue, just by the way. So brain imaging. Oh, so let's get a load of this one. Well, share this with the Facebook folks, give them that link. There we go. Oh, wait, here we have a comment from Devon. Devon says, Dr. Daniels, I share you with everyone I meet. I thank God for you. Thank you very much, Devon. I've gotten more sophisticated with Facebook, so please like and share with all of your friends. I just realized people can like and people can share. All right, so let's take a look at chronic fatigue. And again, we're just using chronic fatigue as an example. Medicine is replete with diagnoses that patients created, labels patients created because of symptoms they had that were not being addressed by the medical industrial complex. And what does the medical industrial complex do? They do exactly what they've done with chronic fatigue, and we're going to see that right now. Okay, so much can be done to ease chronic fatigue syndrome symptoms. So much can be done to ease symptoms. In other words, there is no remedy. So what are they recommending? Brain imaging with magnetic resonance imagery, a $10,000 x-ray, or electrocephalography, which is a test to detect seizures, may be indicated, or it may not, in patients who exhibit brain fog, headaches, or other neurocognitive symptoms. A lot of the testing we do is the differential diagnosis. That means you have a bunch of stuff it could be, try to narrow things down. We're looking for other conditions that might be associated with it. Treatment targets and subgroups, like people with small intestinal bacterial overgrowth or mast cell activation. In the clinical setting, we don't have to make sense of it all. We just have to identify it and see if the patient responds to treatment. In other words, this is kind of like a scatter shot in the dark kind of thing. We just have to put a label on it, throw drugs at it, see if the patient gets better. That sounds like pretty chancy to me. Again, we're talking about science versus pseudoscience. That's not a very scientific approach. Panel member, doctor, who recently retired from the chronic fatigue syndrome practice in North Carolina, we use most tests for exclusionary purposes. We don't want to miss something that's treatable. So in other words, chronic fatigue syndrome is not treatable. So we blast the person with tests to find something else that might be treatable. But some tests are for conditions that often accompany chronic fatigue syndrome and worsen the symptoms. For example, patients with high Epstein-Barr virus, early antigen antibody titer. If we can reduce that viral load, it might make the patient feel better. Where's the science? Is there a study? He says, we don't know if this is treating the chronic fatigue syndrome per se, but it's reducing the perpetuators, and that might make a difference. So we have this scientific individual using words like might, we don't know, but, and might. Which scientific study is he basing his intervention on? Well, here it is. There's currently no U.S. Food and Drug Administration approved drug for chronic fatigue syndrome. In other words, there's no approved treatment for it. So treatments need to be individualized and directed toward the patient's most troubling illness manifestations and symptoms. But wait. There's no approved treatment for this. So we need to give treatment anyway for this, for symptoms. All right, symptomatic treatment. Meanwhile, the underlying disease, whatever it might be, just continues along. So medications that were endorsed by a majority of the panel include low-dose naltrexone. Naltrexone, for those of you who don't know, is a narcotic antagonist that you give to heroin addicts. Let's just check that out. Yes, opiate antagonist. It prevents opiate effects. So you give this drug for heroin overdoses. What has a heroin overdose got to do with chronic fatigue? I mean, just saying. For patients with pain and cognitive dysfunction, low-dose beta blockers. So a beta blocker lowers a person's energy. It would make chronic fatigue even worse, but hey. Or cortisone. Fludrocortisone. For those exhibiting orthostatic intolerance and intravenous antibodies for patients with a variety of immune dysfunction indications, including low IgG or IgA or recurrent infections. Okay, so what he's saying then is you blast the person with a bunch of tests. You're going to get some results that are positive. Just treat every positive result. Even though there's no evidence that these abnormal test results have anything to do with chronic fatigue, just by the way. Also, universally viewed as critical for management of chronic fatigue syndrome is the concept of adaptive pacing. That means you get the person to adjust to the fact that they're going to get worse. Let's see what they say. With it, patients learn to conserve their limited energy by carefully adapting their activities so as not to exceed their aerobic threshold and thereby precipitate a crash. In other words, just tell them to just live with it. Reduce your life. You know, if it hurts to stand and sit some more. It hurts to sit and lay down. I think the patient could have figured that out on his own, and that's why he's coming to see a doctor, because he's sick and tired of laying down all the time and would like to do some standing. One helpful website to offer patients is the Fibromyalgia Self-Help Program website. There's also some endorsement among panel members, but less agreement, about using antivirals, antibiotics, methylfolate for patients with methyl tetrahydrofolate reductase mutations. 61% of Americans have this, by the way, so we cannot attribute chronic fatigue to this, because it's a condition 61% of people, healthy people, have. And immune modulators for low natural killer cell activity and other identified immune dysfunctions. In general, much of the approach involves thinking outside the box. That's this proven scientific box. For example, data suggests that amantadine, that's an antiviral, may improve fatigue and congestion, cognition, and multiple sclerosis. Well, if there's data that suggests it might work for multiple sclerosis, why don't we try it for chronic fatigue? Well, again, this is pseudoscience. This is not science. There's not been any research showing that amantadine is helpful for chronic fatigue. And the research only suggests that it may improve. Can you imagine suggesting that something may improve? That's like an innuendo of an innuendo. Hardly scientific. So the panel is calling for randomized trials of biological treatments. Again, they're calling for research. We want some research. In other words, there is no research. There is no science. If your doctor is treating you with chronic fatigue syndrome, guess what? There is no scientific evidence that it works. So now they're saying, well, could we have some science evidence? So very few treatments have been studied in chronic fatigue syndrome, says a Harvard professor. For one thing, drugs that are off-patent, it's hard to find funding to test off-label use. And with drugs still on patent, drug companies need some empirical evidence of benefit before investing in pursuing a new indication for use. Are you listening to that? So drug companies not going to do a big research study for using its drug in a disease where there's not even any empirical evidence of benefit. There is a huge confession that there's not any empirical evidence that medical treatment of chronic fatigue is beneficial, not even empirical. So clinicians are left to trying treatments that are unproven. Trying treatments that are unproven sounds like pseudoscience to me. There's really no science there. But for which there is plausible rationale for their use and little chance of harm. Now, these drugs they mentioned, amantadine, naltrexone, fludrocortisone, these are harmful drugs. There may be a plausible rationale for their use, but there is chance of harm, and the treatments are unproven. Notably missing from the recommended treatment list are cognitive behavioral therapy aimed at overcoming false illness beliefs and graded exercise. The summit panel voted unanimously to include a statement rejecting those modalities as inappropriate and potentially harmful. So you don't want to accuse people of having false illness beliefs, because chances are it's not the truth, they really don't feel well. And graded exercise is inappropriate because actually they really are exhausted. It's chronic fatigue, duh. So what does the patient need? Well, in addition to treatments, patients with chronic fatigue have other critical needs. Some require disability verification, for which two-day cardiopulmonary exercise test called stress testing may be necessary to prove impairment. However, a lot of people, doctors are saying it's too taxing for patients to be used in clinical assessment. They can't even do it. Other patient needs may include disability parking permits, home health care, equipment, canes, wheelchairs, social services, meals on wheels. So the question is, how do you, as a doctor, prescribe this stuff for a patient whose only evidence of disease is their word? In other words, there is no scientific test for chronic fatigue. There is no scientific physical findings that are consistent for chronic fatigue. One physician described a case in which a healthy school-aged child was faking illness to stay home and care for her mother, who was disabled with the real illness, chronic fatigue syndrome. He says, well, we've got to validate the patient experience. In other words, tell the patient that at least what they have exists. Of course, all this requires that the clinician accept and communicate to the patient that chronic fatigue is real, despite the lack of clarity by its etiology. There's a literature that says it has biological underpinnings, that says it's not imaginary, it's not fabrication, but there's no test. And so doctors don't understand how devastating it can be to be really sick and for people to not believe you. The personal invalidation that people with this illness have experienced, the spouse, the parent, the employer, who at first are sympathetic, but when three doctors in a row say there's nothing wrong, patients begin to see their support systems in danger, actually crumbling. The importance of clinical validation to the patients, in my experience, has been enormous, even when you follow it by, listen carefully, I'm going to do everything I can, but I cannot promise that I'm going to be able to make you feel better. In fact, you can promise that you won't make them feel better. Indeed, I want to take the knowledge that we have and make it impossible for people to turn away from this disease. But now, of course, the knowledge they have is like no knowledge at all. And so here we have a success story of chronic fatigue where doctors have accepted that, yes, it does exist, but there's no diagnosis for it. There is no effective treatment for it. And what they've said is, okay, we're going to pump people full of drugs unrelated to their condition and hope that something works. And so we have the doctors, the medical industrial complex, working on hope and criticizing other non-doctors as having pseudoscience. So, as we said, there's no therapeutic scientific proof of effectiveness, and the medical industrial complex is doing what they accuse alternative practitioners of doing. Their only objection was the loss of revenue. In other words, get your unproven therapies at the medical office, not the supplement counter. Get a load of these tests, at least $10,000 worth, and these therapies the doctors are offering, none of which are effective. The antibiotics, the antivirals, the steroids are not working. And so the medical industrial complex then is no different from snake oil salesmen, quacks, or charlatans. They're engaged in actually the same activity. Absolutely. Absolutamente. So what's a person to do? What if you have chronic fatigue? What if you have adrenal whatever? I can tell you, I have no science. As you know, I don't do research. However, I have greatly relieved people's situation, even cured them of these conditions. I do have a program, 16 weeks, but it is full at the moment. So I recommend people go to my, actually far less expensive, monthly membership program. But chronic fatigue and adrenal fatigue both are a combination of malnutrition, person is eating food that is not able to sustain the energy of their body, combined with the lifestyle that the person is unhappy with. Now, for each person who has chronic fatigue or adrenal fatigue, there are varying degrees of both. In some people, it's just 100% malnutrition. And this is why pain medicines, antibiotics, antivirals are absolutely, absolutely not going to work. There is no chance whatever. And the quickest way to get chronic fatigue is to shop at the grocery store. And so when I work with people, the first thing I do is I get them away from the grocery store. In fact, the things that will improve their nutrition often can't even be found at the grocery store. So people should get all of their vegetables directly from the farmer. A lot of people go to farmers markets, but I don't think that's a good enough switch because many farmers markets, they just get food from the grocery store and resell it. And so at a farmers market, you really don't know what you're getting. Or some will go to the same supplier the grocery store uses and have that person ship to them. So farmers markets are not a big enough switch. You have to actually meet the farmer, go to the farm, check it out, get your produce from the farm. So your meat, same thing. You should at least be working directly with a butcher. To go to the grocery store and pick up a packet of meat is, in terms of your health, irresponsible. And yes, you will have chronic fatigue, adrenal syndrome, whatever. Your body is going to collapse. So these syndromes are just a total collapse of the human body due to profound malnutrition. And so the two things I would recommend anyone do is get their food directly from the farmer, whether it's meat or whether it's vegetable, and even at worst, you know, maybe the butcher. But that's what needs to happen. And this is a total case of malnutrition, both these illnesses. And this is why there is no pill and never will be a pill to solve either one. All right, there we are. That's it. That's today's show. And we will start answering questions. Any thoughts on Reifing and light therapy? Yes. So Reif therapy does not get at the problem, which is malnutrition. So what's going to happen then is you may feel better with Reif therapy, but you're going to have to get where you'd be using that Reif machine 24/7. I know Reifers, first they use Reif machine, oh, and then I feel better. So now they have a Reif machine for this room of the house and that room of the house. And they even have Wi-Fi radiating the Reif frequencies all over the house. And they can't go anywhere without a mini Reif machine. So you haven't solved the problem. You haven't healed the person. You know, we're human beings. We're designed to walk and talk without electronics attached. That's the design. So it's not, so Reif is basically a Band-Aid, just like think of it as a Tylenol or an Advil or whatever. It's not handling the underlying problem. Again, light therapy, same thing. think you just go outside in the sunshine. So I lived in the United States for a long time, and I was, kind of sad, depressed. I felt stressed, whatever. I come down here, this is the tropics. I just walk up and down the street, And all of a sudden, this incredible feeling of happiness just comes in. And of course, most likely source is sunlight. All the time. Like, walk down the street, very something, whatever you have. Walk.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT-TODAY.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield Tactical Bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Hi, Dr. Daniels, and welcome back to Healing with Dr. Daniels. All right, so we are answering questions. So Renee says, Dr. Daniels, I did not get a video of our discovery session. There are no videos. There's only audio. That's all there is. I don't have video technology. And we'll get you those other links. I will check with Shelley. Unfortunately, I have to check with her tomorrow, which is Monday. How to reduce a viral load? You don't reduce a viral load, because the viral load is imaginary. Another fake test. Oh my God. Lynn says they also offer low dose naltrexone for Hashimoto's symptoms. No thanks. That's right, Lynn. Now, Hashimoto's is another, by medical standards, imaginary disease. In other words, there are no test results showing that a person has Hashimoto's. So the person has normal, thyroid tests, everything. So there is no evidence there's anything wrong with the thyroid gland. So I'm with the regular doctors on that one. There's nothing wrong with the thyroid gland, but there is something wrong. And so the regular doctors might say there's nothing wrong, but I say yes, there is. And so with Hashimoto's, generally what you need to do is you need to do some cleansing and alter your nutrition, and that will go away very nicely. Neria says, have you talked about blood pressure? Yes, I have. And there's a link. VitalityCapsules.com/truth-files. Is chelation a good therapy for high blood pressure? I believe that intravenous chelation through the kidneys is a very bad intervention for anything. Because what it does is you have a small impurity, and the chelating molecule clumps all of them together, making a huge molecule. And this big molecule then goes through the kidney and then destroys the very fine meshwork of the kidneys. And again, puts you on dialysis. Dr. Dan, so you subscribe to intermediate fasting for getting your body to burn fat instead of sugar to remove toxins from fat cells. That's like way too complicated. I am a fan of eating once a day. What do you recommend for tick-borne infections? There are no tick-borne infections. It's all a fabrication. It's all a fabrication. This has become a global medical problem the general medical community is denying the existence of. I'll sign on to that boat. So the so-called tick-borne diseases are actually syphilis being transmitted by vaccines. And since you have a global vaccination program, you need the global theory. All right, we are going to a commercial. We will be back in a moment.
I saw you there, just standing there. And I thought I was all. Then once again, you said you would come and dance with me. Dance with me across the sea. We can feel the motion.
Many people tell us about their experience with Extendivite. Just listen to what Glenn has to say.
Prior to taking it, I had diabetic neuropathy. The Extendivite reduced that significantly. Acid reflux was reduced. I had athlete's foot, very severe. Trimmed that down to about 75%. Dandruff, almost completely gone. I had occipital neuralgia at the base of my skull. I was having migraines, reduced by about 90%. Heart palpitations, my heart would kind of stall out. I would skip a beat. Very uncomfortable. And when walking from downstairs going to sleep, by the time I got to the bedroom, which is just one flight of stairs, my heart was pounding, coming out of my chest. My vision was blurry. This completely solved that problem. Great product. Thanks.
Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.